that, you know, let the word of God be sufficient for you. What did I say? Let it be sufficient for you. Don't look for counsel outside the word of God. Don't look for any wisdom outside the word of God. Unless you don't want to deal with God. Because God walks strictly by his word. God walks strictly by what? His word. And his word is very dependable. There is no lie in it. There is no single lie in what God said. Let it be sufficient for you. Do not look for solution in rituals that you do. That's not the word of God. Don't look for solution in what your mind is telling you or what people are doing or what people have. Even if they get result, don't copy them. Because you don't know this power behind that result. I'm warning you, you don't know the spirit behind what? That result. Because the devil can also give you, but his intention is to kill, to steal, and to what? Destroy. That's always where he ends up. So let the word of God be sufficient for you. And learn to trust God's word. And in prayer, let the word of God also guide you. Because the Bible says that the word of God is lamp unto our feet. And it's what again? Lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. So it shows us how to pray. It shows us how to pray. And first of all, the thing that the word of God teaches us is that God wants to answer my prayer. God wants to answer whose prayer? Oh, I thought it's my own prayer alone. God wants to answer what? You ask anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. It's right there. You ask anything in my name, I will do it. It doesn't get as simple as this, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. I didn't say you ask and do rituals. Asking, I think, is a simple thing that God says, let me know what you want. I'm not interested in rituals. Just tell me what you want. Let your request be made what? Known to me. I'm not interested in whether you jump up, jump down, bro. Just hear. Let me hear you. What do you want? And every single time, people will make requests to Jesus. It will be a very simple request, intelligent request that you can understand. Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus turns around and says, tell me exactly what you want me to do. So, isn't it the same thing that the Lord will stand before me and you and said, of all the rambling, just tell me exactly what you want. Stop all the rambling. I don't answer prayer by rambling. Jesus wondered, he said, the heathens think that God will answer their prayer by their repeated talking and all those kind of stuff. We build ourselves in those things that they kind of take us captive, and it's a struggle to get away from them. It's becoming hard for a Christian to believe that if he talks to God, that God hears it and God will respond. Until there's added ritualism to it, then we think, I want to ask us a question. A blind man, blind from the birth, isn't that a serious situation? Come on now. And Jesus said, all I need from you, tell me what you want. And the man said, that I may what? You are not talking. Because I got you. That's why you're not talking. And Jesus said to him, what do you want? He said, that I may what? See. So what did Jesus say? Got your sight. Your faith has made you. Go and see. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and what? Yeah. I want you to think, what rituals or thing was added to that simple request? Is it not that I might receive my sight? What do you want? Let me hear what you want. So the Bible teaches that God is prepared. And I'm asking another question. Your situation you are looking at and the blind from birth, which one is more difficult? Huh? Okay. So why are we doing all these things we do and think that by all those things we've finally convinced God? You know what I mean? We finally convinced him to say, you know, there's one song we used to sing when we were going to prayer house. And my wife knows it very well. Remember me, remember. And then when we sing it, you know, you sing it with, oh, remember me, oh Lord, remember, remember. And the Bible says, God says, I will never forget you. You see, a mother can forget his child, but I, God, will what? Never forget. Now here you are saying to God, remember me. Remember me. And you sing it and you raise emotions, it's all rubbish. Because it's not within the realm of what God has said. You are acting outside his word and you don't have fellowship with him. You really are quenching his hand because you are accusing him of not being honest. You're accusing him of not being truthful. You are looking him in the face and say, God, you forgot me. But you, God said, well, listen, I will never forget you. Why are you singing this kind of song? That's number one. So God answers prayer. Can we say that with me? Can we say it again? And he doesn't need all this rebuttal. It's as simple as very intelligent people talk to one another. Father and son, I've told you this before. It's just a simple discussion with God. I've seen God do incredible things, talking to him in the car, in the toilet. I've had very serious situations. I don't want to describe them. I was in the toilet. I said to the Lord, what is this? He said, it is this. He said, go to bed, don't worry about it. And that was all. So don't worry about it, go to bed. That took care of it. So if you are convinced that God answers prayer and answers your own prayer, I want you to say amen. Then number two is that God doesn't do the receiving. To say that God answers is that God gives when you ask. That's what it means. He gives. And God says, ask and there shall be what? Giving. So he gives. Now, who does the receiving? We do the receiving. We do the receiving. God can do the receiving for you. So I have to learn and to believe and to find how to receive. I can't see God. It's not visible. But I have to receive from an invisible God, which means the means to receive from him has to be also invisible. There has to be an arm that I can stretch forth and receive it. When God gave you salvation in Christ, God, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. The Bible says it was an act of love and grace, but he told us you received it by faith. You didn't see Jesus. My little grandson said to grandma, he said, grandma, he said, I was not there. Oh, my granddaughter. So I was not there when Jesus was here. He said, how do I know, how do I say he died for me? I didn't see him. That's a smart question. Very smart. He was asking her. He said, grandma, but you know I didn't see him now. Yeah, I wish I saw him. That's a smart question. She needed to be taught. None of us was here when Jesus died. But how can we believe what we didn't see? It's the same way you believe for the answer you didn't see. Because the word of God told you so. That's why I started by saying, we should learn to trust the word of God. Everything you do as a Christian was told you by the Bible. You didn't see them. The Bible told you so. So if you start doubting the word of God, you start doubting everything that God is telling you. You didn't see Jesus. You were not there. Some of us have not even gone beyond New York, not to talk of go to Jerusalem. But the Bible told us that the Son of God died for you. You weren't there. And you received it. And you are saved. You see the manifestation of it. In the same way, you didn't see God. But God told you, ask and I shall what? Give. The same Bible that told you that Jesus died for you and you received it. The same Bible told you that if you ask him, he will give you. And then the same way you receive salvation and say, yes, I'm saved. Jesus died for me. He's my Lord and my Savior. The Bible says, yet you didn't see him, but you still suffer affliction for him. In the same way, you say, yes, he told me that if I ask, I received it. So I now what? No, you've asked now. I now what? Receive it. Now, how much effort did it take you to receive salvation? Did it take you one day? Now, somebody came to you and said, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to accept Jesus. And then he says, you said, okay, you say after me. And then he says, Lord Jesus, you are my Lord and my Savior. I believe you died for me. I'm now saved. And then you say to him, is that all? Is that all you are saying? What else is he supposed to say? He said, no, he can't, it's not. You have to continue saying. You don't do that. Because once he says that, the next thing he says, praise the Lord, this brother is now saved. Why don't we do the same in prayer? Why don't we do the same? Is it not the same faith? Is it not the same Bible that told us the same thing? Why don't you say, praise the Lord, I received it now. Wow, it is mine. Mark 11, 24. What did he say? Mark 11, 24. I tell you what? You can pray for what? Anything. Remember I said, if you ask me anything. Now he's saying, if you pray for anything, and anything includes that thing you've been praying for 2 months and 1 year and all of that. All I'm trying to do is to stop you from praying that prayer anymore. If I can succeed in getting you to stop, then we're on good grounds. If I can succeed in stopping you from exercising unbelief and manifesting unbelief, and with the hand of faith, grab what God has given you and keep it, we have succeeded tonight. Praise the Lord. I tell you, you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you have received it, then you are not talking. We read this, push it by the side, and be doing what word? And wonder why we're not seeing anything. At the beginning, I said, learn to respect the word of God. Let it guide you. Let it really guide you. Don't joke with it. If God told you this, then this is the way it is. Don't look for any other proof. This is your proof. This is it. This is the evidence. I tell you, you can pray for anything. If you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. Case closed. Again, remember I said, let the word of God guide you. Learn to train yourself to trust the word of God. Learn to train yourself to what? I want to hear you more. Say it more. Learn to train yourself, because we've been in this direction of ritualisms and all manner of things that we add to this to convince ourselves. And God didn't add all of them, and are the things that are hindering us anyway. Let's throw them away and come to just walk in the word. Let his word be sufficient. Let it be what? Sufficient for you. Again, let's read what he told us in this place. One, two, go. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. So where the problem is do you really believe you have received it? Because sometimes we say we are believed, we don't. Our action, our thoughts, and everything we do belies the truth, the fact that we don't believe nothing. Because if you believe, you stop praying. If I ask God for this thing, and I have it physically, am I still going to pray about it? No. If I pray about it tomorrow, you know that something is because I have it. Now you say you have it and you bother God about it. Is it not if you have it, you stop now? That's the first sure sign that you believe you have it. You take your minds off it and say, this is sorted out. You go your way. I had a testimony in the night of one pastor. They told him that his his two children were sick, and that the wife said, I don't have money for food and everything. And he was somewhere preaching. God sent him there. So when he got the telegram, he was so, he didn't know what to do. He couldn't stop the meeting. He didn't have, they didn't have cell phone that time. The wife said, I don't have money, and two of your children are very sick. And the man went to the church and took the letter to God and said, God, you see, you sent me here, and my two children are about to die, and there's no food in my house. And he prayed from morning till afternoon for several hours. And then he got angry that God was not talking to him. So he went to eat and decided, no, I'm not eating. I'm coming back to pray. So he prayed again till evening. And as he was praying, God spoke to him. He said, what are you doing here? He said, I came to tell you my children are dying. I have no food. And God said, what are you doing acting like this? He said, my children are dying and I have no food. That's what I'm here for. What are you doing acting like this? He said, Lord, I came to pray now so that you will heal my children and provide food. There's no food. And I'm here preaching. You brought me here. And God said, what are you doing acting like this? And the man said, this is the letter. This is the telegram that brought me here. And I decided I have to be here until you answer me. And God said, what are you doing here acting this way? If God starts asking you one question over and over, then you know you don't know what you're talking about. And the Lord said to him, what did my word say? He said, didn't I tell you that by the stripes of Jesus you are healed? And didn't I tell you that I supply your needs? So why are you acting like this? Ha! The pastor said, ah, yeah, that's what you said. He said, then believe me and get out of here. And the man left. He said, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. So you see, all that prayer from morning to evening, and he said after he left, he now went and ate good food. All that prayer was a waste of time. And the Lord said, what did I tell you? What did my word tell you? And he began to thank God, and he thanked God and left. By morning, he got another telegram. Money has come. No more sickness. Everything sorted out. You know, sometimes God will ask us, what are you doing acting this way? What are you doing this thing? What, is that prayer or what? What are you doing here? What did I tell you? What did I tell you? I don't know how we feel if you are dealing with somebody who doesn't trust you. You tell him, I've done this. This is the way this is. He won't listen to you. He's leaning and depending on his own understanding and what all these false teachers and prophets are telling him. But God says, look, if you, I tell you, I what? I tell you, you can pray for anything. If you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. So at the point I say, yeah, I got it, that is mine. It's mine. And then the last thing I want to remind us is the devil will try to come and make you lose it. Even if you say, I have it, the devil will fight you for it. Don't kid yourself, he will. He will try to make you walk by sight, because once you walk by sight, your faith goes. You can't retain that thing you have. The moment you start walking by sight, that thing you have goes, because you didn't see it. Now he wants you to walk by what you see. But you didn't see it now. Did you see your salvation? You didn't see it, but you received it. You didn't see what you received now, but the devil wants to take you and make you walk by sight as evidence. I'm telling you, see, there's nothing there. Of course, there's nothing there. Because what was given to me in the realm where you don't see. For faith is evidence of things. Come on, talk. I'm saying. So why do I want to see what I didn't see? I received the God I spoke, I didn't see. He told me, I'm giving you, that's it. I don't see it. I don't have to see anything. And things don't have to change immediately. They don't have to change immediately. In fact, most times they don't really change immediately. They don't change. And so the Bible said to us to hold fast to that which you have received. And how do you hold fast? Let's read the scripture. Am I communicating? Huh? Yeah. just want us to really get this thing going and stop all this ritualistic prayer. How do you hold fast? Hebrews 10:35-39. And then, yeah. Hebrews 10:23, first of all. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we have found. For God can be trusted to keep what he said. God can be what? I didn't hear you. Trusted. If he said it, he can be trusted. So give me another translation, maybe New Living Translation. New King James Version. Also. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. You say to God, I've received it. He said, keep saying the same thing now. Hold fast to that confession of what you are saying, of our hope. You don't see it physically, but it's there without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. God can be trusted. It can be. If you can't trust God, I don't know who I can trust if I can't trust God. How can I trust myself if I can't trust God? So that's why it's called the fight of faith, to trust God, not to trust God. Then the next one is Hebrews chapter 10, the same chapter 10, verse 35. Verse 35. Therefore, do not cast away your what? I'm not hearing you. Your confidence, which has a great reward. Don't cast away your confidence in the word of God. Don't walk by sight. Don't let the devil show you and say, this didn't work, you didn't see this. No, forget about it. The word of God can be trusted. It can be trusted. You will fight the fight of faith. Insist that what God said is true. It can be trusted. You hold fast to your confession of thanksgiving. And you can't throw away the confidence you have in the word of God. You cannot. He said it has very great reward, not just ordinary reward, very great reward. And you know, the devil knows James 1:6 very well. I think he recites it every day to himself. He knows it. James 1:6-7. He knows it very well. James 1:6-7. He knows it. I believe he recites it every day. James 1:6-7. He knows this scripture so well. I'm convinced that in the kingdom of darkness, he teaches it to all the demons. So you people should know this scripture, because that's why you go and get these Christians and finish them. But let him ask what? With no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will what? He will what? He's not talking about the giving side. He's talking about you being able to receive anything from the Lord. The devil knows this scripture too. He knows that once he can get you to waver, you can't receive anything from God. So he waits for you, do all that to your prayer, you're doing. But he will come and say, walk by side now. See, it's not working. Things are getting worse. So what are you going to do now? They say, yeah, you go back and start, Lord, it's wavering. 1 minute, praise the Lord. I have it. The other minute, oh my God. God, please. The wind is using to move you up and down the circumstances you're watching. That's the wind he's moving to push you. You say, praise the Lord. God has answered me. Yeah. And you go home, things go, dive south. And then he reminds you, look at it now, it's not working. Then you say, yeah, I thought God answered me. And then you go down. The Bible says you will never receive anything that way. You have to be steady. You have to keep your confidence going. You have to fight the fight of faith. Keep the word of God in your heart. Meditate on it day and night. Keep it in view. Don't keep the word is showing you in view. Keep what God is telling you in view if you want to fight and win this battle. You got to put what God told you in view, which means you have to water it. Keep watering it. That scripture on which you stood, that scripture on which your faith stands, you keep watering it. You keep watering it. The Bible says it has very great reward. Can I hear amen? I didn't hear a big amen. Yeah. It has a very big reward. Now, we see, when we started this church, you have heard the story several times. Now, if we are wavering because of what we are seeing, we won't be here. We'll not be here at all. We'll not be here. But you see that scripture God gave us, Isaiah 41:10? I wrote it everywhere. I stood on it. We'll come to church, only six of us. I stood on it. I said, this is working. My wife will tell you, it's working. And the devil said, if I don't forget the day one man came to pick me to go to preach somewhere. He came and asked me, say, where is the church? I said, we're here now. The man couldn't stop laughing. He laughed. You know, some things can make you discouraging. But you know, I didn't hear his laugh. The word had filled my heart. I wasn't listening to him. I'll come and be preaching to people. Come, are you kidding me? The place was packed full as far as I was concerned. Because God said so. And he didn't see anything 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. Try it and see how hard it is. Go and try it. And the place had no heat. No heat. And it was winter. It has everything contrary. No heat. It was winter. She's here. She's living with this. No heat. This is not our first winter. Your ear will be paining you. Oh. Your ear will be, and we didn't have winter jackets. We bought from secondhand market in Lagos. We didn't know what winter was looking like. So we picked up the things the things they gave us. Ugo Chukwuzo was oversized because he was 6 years old. I was more concerned for him. You know, and then these boys, we wear the only jacket we had. Everybody had just one type of jacket I remember I see still red with this zip down. And then we'll carry things on the head from our house to bus 21 on Main Street. And that's the route we knew, and get to the Penn Station, we'll get out, carry things on the head from Penn Station to church. And no heat. No heat. Not one. And it was winter. And these boys would play guitar, and they stop. They rub their first time. They never had this in winter. Rub their hand. And we're having church. Because God spoke to me, said, You started there? Yeah, that's why I started. But that's why we stayed for months. I don't have to tell you the rest of the story. You've seen what is happening. And more churches are coming out next year. I thought, you hear it now very soon. More churches are coming out. And now the district has ready to have, they had this international, this conference of the big guys, the international president, the general superintendent, and they were talking about Orange Force Project. I read it to her. The secretary there sent me, he said, Pastor Chinedu, you need to hear this. What report they were talking about the quality of Christians in this church. These are white people. I don't have to be there. This is Foursquare. The big guys in their conference said they were talking about Orange Foursquare, the quality of Christians there. That place is producing solid Christians. I wasn't there. But supposing I was looking and saying, Lord, why should I be here? I start complaining. I'm murmuring. There's no heat. And nobody's helping me. Nobody. I called my wife. I said, you don't tell anybody to come here. She's alive now. I said, don't you invite anybody to this church. I said, don't you try that. I said, God brought us from far away. The same way he brought us, he will bring those that will come in. I said, did I know this place before in my life? He brought me here. If you can bring me from Lagos to here, he's capable of bringing anybody from anywhere to this place. I said, watch what he will do. And I told Foursquare, I said, you people have forgotten us. Praise the Lord. I said, keep. Very soon you think I came because of your money. You're not giving me money, nothing. So I said to them, wow, this is awesome. This is going to be interesting. I told them, I said, watch what God will do. I told them, I said, this now church starts. I said, when God does the best, it's when you are left alone, when you are abandoned. I said, because he doesn't want to share his glory with you, white people. Now you leave us alone. You are the reason I'm happy. The following week, somebody walked into our house and said that God spoke to him to give us $10,000 for the church. She's alive. I took the check to the district office. Revival broke out there. They said, this man just came from Africa. They are giving him, nobody gave us $5,000, not to talk of the. And from there. Supposing at that time, I was murmuring and complaining. Nobody helped me. And nobody even came to carry us. You don't have heat. Why am I going there? Who will come there? Look at the step. Hey, no signboard. No parking. Thank God I didn't have a car, so I didn't know about parking. Nothing. It looked like Delhi. The front was like Delhi. You people know what I'm talking about now. No signboard. I couldn't put signboard. You have the money to do anything. See where we are today. And just the beginning. You see that this thing works. Because God can be trusted. That's what I'm saying. God can be what? Trusted. He's not a man. He's not a man. If he tells you, if you do this, I do this, but you do this, that's all you need. You don't need any other input from anybody. You don't need to hear any prophet. You don't need to hear any pastor. All you need to hear is what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And if you do that, you see the result. Praise the Lord. Are you getting my point? So can we cut out the crap and get to the real deal? Just do what God said to do. Forget about what is happening and what the devil is trying to do. And rejoice that his word is yea and amen. And have peace. Go home and sleep. I want us to pray for Sister Sinadi, Brother Sinadi's wife again. Now we're going to pray with all our heart. So how many of us are going to really pray now? So why are you going to pray again? We don't need to pray again. We're done. We are done. The baby is coming out when? I didn't hear you. When? This night. It's done. It's done. Case closed. All right. So you can continue your prayer.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Four Square Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.